Today's series is the last message, is the last in our series, which is about you ask for it. And today, specifically, I want to be addressing how do I get through what I'm going through? That is an oft-asked question that pops up. I get asked it many different times during the life of ministry. People come in and want to sit down in my study and just ask me how are they going to get through what they're going through right now, because it just seems so difficult. Let me read to you. If you notice in your outline, there are four passages of Scripture, and I want to read those to you. You may be able to find them in your Word fast enough, but let me just read through them. I want to read from the New Living Translation. The first one is Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. And listen to what the Bible says. As long as the earth remains, there will be springtime and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. What does that mean? It means change is inevitable. That's what God is saying. There will always be change. It is inevitable on this planet. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything. Can you say everything?
Everything.
God causes everything to work together for the good, not of everybody. For those who love Him and are called according to His purpose for them. God causes everything to work together for what?
Good.
That was really weak.
Good.
God causes everything to work together for
good. The
good to those who love Him. Not for everybody. That's a qualifying verse. Genesis 50, verse 20. As far as I'm concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. Of course, this is Joseph. God brought me to the high position I have today so I could save the lives of many people. You go back and you read Joseph's life in those last several chapters of Genesis, and you realize a man who went through a lot of hardship, a lot of loss, for a continued extended period of time. And yet he came to the place to where he said, I have come to realize God brought me to this high position so that I could save the lives of many people. In other words, my suffering had a service. My pain had a purpose, all right? My mess had a message. That's what God is saying, all right? And then 1 Peter 1, verse 7. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith, your trust in God, is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong in the Lord, in His goodness, in His mercy, in His character, in who He is, after you've been tried by fiery trials, that will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And so we're going to be talking today about how do I get through what I'm going through. This year is my 46th year in ministry. I know I don't look like it, but it is. I continue, just by way of confession, I continue as a way of life. Now, I want you to know, I have to continuously, at least weekly, if not many times on a daily basis, I have to speak God's truth to me every day, many times, just to keep going. You all know that back in April, I had prostate cancer surgery. The surgery was a success. The cancer was contained. No treatments called for. My health is good. I'm cancer-free. But I want you to know that that event rocked my world. There were not just days of uncertainty and darkness, there were weeks that I went through. Now, I know I'm not the only one. There are a lot of people in our city. There are many of you in this service and others in the other two services are going to be following that are struggling with life change. That one was a big one for me. Many of you are going through life changes. You're suffering in silence. For some people, it's a job change. Maybe it was forced. Maybe you had no choice in it. There's disease. There's surgeries. Kids leaving, either moving out or going off to college, getting married. A spouse, a child dying. And then there's that inevitability of us getting older. This will make more sense to this service than it will to the other two. It seems like they progressively get younger the later the services go. I don't know why that is. But getting older, it seems we have difficulty in three major areas. Number one is our brain. You can't remember it like you used to. You come into a room, you don't know if you were leaving or just coming in. Because you don't know why you're there. I haven't experienced that, but I know some of you maybe have. You got brain problems, then you got joint problems. You can't bend down and grab it like you used to. And then there's muscle problems. Even if you grab it, you can't lift it. I've just read about that. That's not me. But here's the insight I want to give you. If you get out, you look at your life, point out, what you know is what gets you through in life. What you know is what gets you through in life. If you don't know the right things, if we don't know what God says when we go through these life quakes, these tremors, you know, then you'll crater, you'll cave, you may quit when it's not God's will for you to quit. And then you find yourself in a difficult, even more difficult situation because you need to know the right thing. And here's what I want you to understand. I want you to write this down somewhere. What you know is what gets you through. What you know is what gets you through. Say that with me. What you know is what gets you through. When you're going through a life quake, when you're going through a life tsunami, it is what you know that gets you through. I made it through my cancer challenge only one way, because of what I knew. But because of what I understood from God's promises to me. You see, the thing is this, ladies and gentlemen, all of us have one thing in common. Every one of us are going to go through, are going through, will go through, have gone through some tough times. Every one of us experience loss. And at some point in our life, we experience major loss in our lives. Someone has said, however, something that's very true, and that is this. There is no growth without change. Think about that. There's no growth without change. If everything stays the same, you won't develop. No growth without change. No change without loss. You're going to lose something when it changes. And when there's no loss without pain. Losing hurts, brings pain. And there's no pain without grief. No pain without grief. And so I think one of the most asked questions that comes to me in pastoral ministry is, Brother John, how do I get through what I'm going through? I can't change it. I can't get past it. How do I get through what I'm going through? I'm going to give you two thoughts this morning. Number one is this. Life doesn't often make sense, but God is with us and He loves us. It doesn't often make sense, but He's with me and He loves me. See, that's what makes life so confusing, is that normally I have more questions than I've got answers. And even for me as as a shepherd of God's people, as a man that God has called me, this is what I'm supposed to do. He totally, radically changed the direction of my life. I am just like you in that I've got more questions in my life than I have got answers. And it's no matter how close I walk with the Lord, there are events that take place in my life as your pastor I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't know why they happened the way they did. And I will hear myself asking the question, Lord, why is this happening? Why is this taking place in my life? And not only why is it happening, why is it happening now? And why is it happening to me? You know, it just doesn't make sense. And I know some of you have asked, why did my spouse walk out on me? You're supposed to be till death do us part. That's supposed to get us through all the hard times. We knew in the beginning hard times are going to come. Why did they walk out? Why were they not willing to work at it? Why did my spouse die suddenly? I never got to say goodbye. Why did my husband or my wife die so slowly, so painfully? Why did I lose my job? Why did I not get that promotion? Why was my child born this way? Lord, I don't understand that. Here's an insight I want you to see in your outline. The majority of life questions will have no answer this side of eternity. Life won't make sense the majority of our lives. In other words, one of the things that we will see habitually bad people prosper and good people suffer. And it doesn't make sense. It's like this is so not right. What I want to share with you are some stages that I understand that Catherine and I went through, and very possibly you may be going through, and you maybe just haven't known how to put a label on it. And I want to show you progression, how that we go from the beginning of loss and how we work our way through to where God wants us to be, okay? Whenever loss takes place, whenever I get in one of these difficult journeys, the first response in my life is shock. Shock. And shock simply means you're in that period of time where you're kind of like a deer caught in the headlights. You know, you're sitting in a chair, you're sitting in a recliner, you're sitting on the couch, and you're just kind of looking off. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening to me. You're just in shock. And you're not saying anything. You're just kind of looking off, okay? So shock. Then number two is sorrow. Sorrow is when grief sets in. I cannot tell you how many times that Catherine and I just held each other. Whether it was in the kitchen or in some part of our house or whatever, I just wanted to hold her because I was thinking, maybe we won't be together as long as I thought we were going to. You know, grief is good. Grief is good because it is a necessary step to get me out of shock. Grief is how you move forward emotionally. So you go from shock, just kind of staring off, to where you're in grief, and that's where you emotionally just begin to deal with it. And that's when you start moving and you want to be able to move. I can't get to the next transition. I can't get to the next step of being able to live life the way God wants me to live it without going through grief. I think that is why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are they that mourn." Why? For they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who grieve. And Jesus grieved, didn't he? Right? What is the shortest verse in the Bible? I'm not asking you chapter and verse, just quote it. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Because that's grief. It is grieving. And the only way to get through shock is to grieve. If you try to go back to work too soon, it's a poor decision. And sometimes people will say, I don't want to sit around in the house. And so what they do so many times is they want to go back to work right after a loss, maybe after the death of a loved one or some kind of shock that's come into their life, because they want to put it out of their mind. And I want to tell you something, you're making a huge mistake. Grief is in you. It has to come out. It is part of God's process of dealing with loss. You have to grieve. People say, I don't want to cry. You better let it come if you want to heal. Otherwise, you get emotionally stuck in the past. People who lose a loved one, a husband, a wife, a child, it's at least a year of grief. It will come in waves. Some days you think, I can handle this. Other days you think, I'm not going to survive. It's going to eat me up. I'm going to be overwhelmed. And you know what that is? That is normal. That is normal. Should you not grieve when you've lost a husband or a wife or a child? Huh? Speak to me. Yes. You ought to. If you don't grieve, what's wrong with you? Were they not valuable? Were they not important? Somebody needs to grieve their death. And what better one than their spouse or whoever is so close to them? You got every major season to deal with. That first Christmas, that first birthday, that first Easter, that first Thanksgiving. And maybe right now you're saying, preacher, stop, move on. No. This is good. Because it's necessary for healing. And the truth in your outline, if you don't get over grief, you get through it. I still grieve Mama going to heaven. She was 88. Mom was never going to be better. The stroke had debilitated her in so many ways. She could no longer talk to me like Mama. Couldn't carry on a conversation. And I still miss her. Last night, Catherine didn't even know it. Last night, I went into the closet and I pulled down they give you a book they give you when the funeral's there, you know? And I pulled it down because you might think it morbid. I made pictures of Mom and Dad because I never wanted to forget it. And I just pulled it out, and I remembered the day Mama was laid to rest. You see that there's still that little touch of grief that's there inside of me. But then that leads then to number three, which is struggle. There's shock, there's sorrow, and then there's struggle. I never thought with the vision that God gave me for the hill that I would face cancer. I mean, I shouldn't think that would ever happen to me. My go-to emotion was, Lord, how is this part of what you told me? How does this figure in to the vision that you put in my heart? You see, it wasn't wrong for me to ask God my questions, but what mattered was this. How was I going to handle God's silence? Because to this day, he has never answered that question. And so the question is, how am I going to handle his silence? Here's the deal. My cancer was no surprise to God. God didn't send it, but God had me born in a family that had a genetic predisposition to cancer, and God worked it into my life. Does that make sense? Okay, here's the truth I want you to see in your outline. My life and yours only has plan A. There is no plan B. Cancer did not move me to plan B. The loss of a spouse, the losing a job, that doesn't take you to plan B. There is no plan B. Everything that happened in your life, child of God, God saw in advance. And his plan for you has not changed, which leads you then to step four when you realize that, and that surrender. You come to the place to where you quit asking why and you trust him. Lord, I'm just going to lay my life in your hands. I submit my future to whatever you want. And that's what I did. That's what I told him. I said, Father, I submit myself to you, even if it means that my ministry as senior pastor on the hill is over. Okay. Then it is what it is. And I don't understand. God didn't have to explain himself. And someday I'll understand why. So that came to surrender. And then that brings me then to sanctification, number five. And sanctification is when you're set aside. This is when God started enlarging me, bringing good out of bad. I never once thanked God for cancer. I think that would be sick. I never thanked him for cancer, but I thanked him in the midst of it. See, Joseph did not thank God for all of his trouble. He did not thank God for his brother's jealousy. He did not thank God for the meanness and the cruelty of his brothers. But what he thanked God for was that his pain had a purpose. There's a purpose to it. God, you're working plan A in my life. Listen, when I am set aside, when I say, Lord, yes, I'm going to trust you, then my life is opened up to the anointing of God, the favor of God, the open doors that only God can open, and that depends upon my surrendering to his sovereignty. The Lord, you're sovereign, and I want to do whatever you want in my life, which brings me then to step number six, and that's service. And I want you to listen to me. Every one of us, God has a plan for us to serve him. God wants to take our greatest life pain and turn it into our life message. God wants to take our greatest pain and turn it into our life message. God wants to take your mess and give you a message. God wants to take this loss and turn it into a life lesson. I can speak to people who have cancer now in a way that I could never speak to anybody else before. Who is better at helping parents of a Down syndrome child than a mom and a dad who have a Down syndrome child and learn to trust God? Who else is going to speak into their life? Who else is better to help somebody struggling with an addiction than somebody who's also struggled with addiction and found God's glory and power over it? Who better to counsel believers who are struggling with staying together than somebody who either went through a struggle or went through a divorce and learned on the other side, if I had it to do over again, this is what I would do? And so what God is simply saying is, use your pain and make a purpose out of it, because it's part of plan A for us. There is no plan B. And here's the truth in your outline. The very thing that you want to talk about the least is the very thing God wants to use the most in your life to help other people to enlarge your ministry in a lost world. Which brings me to my last point, and that's this. Life change is always a test of faith. It's always testing my faith. The truth in your outline, change, positive or negative, marriage or divorce, birth or death, graduation or flunking out, it's always a faith test. All of that is always a faith test. Let me go back to, I think, which is a foundational verse, and that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through your many trials, through your days of darkness, through those days when heaven is quiet, when it remains strong, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ is revealed to a whole world. And the truth is, change is inevitable. Sometimes it is because of what I do. Sometimes it is not because of what I do. It may be because of what somebody did or for what somebody didn't do. But the truth is, God can use change in this broken world for our good and his glory. That's what Job did when he lost everything. He lost everything. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his family in a 24 to 48 hour period. I mean, absolutely, totally devastated. But what did he say? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, but what? Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of my God. Job said, I'm going to trust my Father in my loss. So let me give you a pathway through loss. All right, number one, When you're in loss, number one, ask God for wisdom. You're in a life change that you didn't plan. You don't want it. You don't like it. So what do you ask? You get before God and you say, Father, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? James 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. He will not resent you asking. All right, so you ask Him for wisdom. And then number two, listen for His whisper. Listen for His whisper. I learn wisdom from God. I gain direction from God by being still. Now, I want you to listen, by being still. I think the example of that is 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah needed a fresh word from God because his life was increasingly becoming complicated and dangerous, right? And so the Bible says God directed him to a mountain cave out in the boonies. And there came three things. Elijah heard a powerful wind. He felt a tremendous earthquake. And then there was this blazing fire that took place. And he stayed where he was. And then it says, but he heard then a still, small voice. And when he heard that, he went to the mouth of the cave. And God gave him direction for his future. And so listen, I just want you to understand. I hear God in quietness, not in racket. You do not hear God in racket. You hear Him in quietness. When you are hurting, you and I, we need to slow down the RPMs of our life and wait before God in quietness to gain direction. And God will give it. You ask Him for it, you get quiet before Him so you can hear Him, and He'll give it. And then number three, don't ask why, ask what. Change is inevitable. And the life changes of loss and pain and uncertainty, I want you to understand what God is looking for. When I lose, when I'm in pain, when I'm in darkness, my Father wants one particular response from me. It all goes back to trusting Him and honoring Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Losing a job, losing your health, losing a loved one, whatever, God seeks one response from us. God wants thanksgiving, not for what happened. That would be sick. He wants us to give thanks in what happened. Give thanks that though my loved one may have gone to heaven, though I may be facing disease, I give thanks that above everything else that I know, God is in control. I also know that my Father loves me. I know that God's plan for me is not ruined. I know that if I will be still before Him, God will help me. He will guide me. And God's promise is I will use everything for good in your life. Everything. So here's the last thing. This is in your outline, the invitation. The greatest mistake often made in loss is we try to go it alone. I know that there are some of you that suffer in silence. And I want to tell you something. I want to lovingly, as your pastor, I want you to understand your unwillingness. Now listen, be still for a minute. Your unwillingness to share your pain with other people is pride. I know you would probably never think that. You're probably thinking, I don't want to trouble anybody else. No, that's really not the bottom. What it is pride. Pride is when I try to live life alone. I can make it. I can do this on my own. I'm going to keep everything close to my chest. I'm going to keep up this stoic front, and it's all a lie. It's all a front. We look like everything's okay, but we're cratering and we're alone. Humility is when I admit weakness. That I am willing to say, this is really, really hard. And I just need you to come alongside of me. I need that. And what that means is you need a life group for the challenges of life. I don't need 50 friends. I need 3 to 5 real good ones that I can be dead honest and they won't think less of me. Does that make sense? Huh? I don't need 50 fair weather friends who don't want to hear my pain. You see, I have pain. How about you? And the reality is, everybody didn't know or didn't need to know my personal struggle. But I will tell you this. I broke down and cried during those dark days before my senior staff and before the elders. Because it was hard. God let me feel the full weight of darkness. And what I'm simply saying to you is this. That is why you need to be in a life group. You need to be with somebody because you cannot do life alone. God wants you to live life with others around you that you can be honest with. And here's something I want those of you that are in a life group, I want you to write this down. I just want to say it again so that you'll remember it. All right, let's just be the mantra of your life group. What is said in the group stays in the group. If you don't keep that, your life group will splinter and it'll never be what it's supposed to be. What is said in the group stays in the group. We don't talk about it. We don't share it. You know what sharing is? It's gossip. So stop it. I just want to share this with you. Shut your mouth. That's just a lie of the devil. I know something you don't know. Every group needs to make that commitment. So here's what I'm going to do. Stacy's going to come. We're going to have just a brief amount of time. I want to invite you this morning. Let me just say this. When you leave here this morning, if you don't have a life group, we've got a long table set up in the mall. And there will be an attendant there when you leave this morning. And you can have an opportunity to go down and you can look at the life groups that are available. And you can sign up to be in one of those life groups. And that will be meeting. It'll give you the time and the place that they're going to be meeting. All right? So I want us to stand together before the Lord. And I want to invite you this morning. Will you, just in the quietness of this moment, as the music just begins to play, if you are going through that time right now, that you just want to come before the Lord, and this morning, just stand down here with me as your pastor and a fellow struggler, just to give God thanks, not for the pain, but you're giving God thanks in it. And knowing that this morning, Father, I am standing on the promise, my pain has a purpose. There is a message in my mess, and I want to say yes to you. And so, Stacy, start the music if you will. And I want to ask you, will you just come? And we're going to close our service by doing this morning. I want to pray over you and just stand alongside of you as your shepherd, your pastor, during this particular time. You just come and stand here this morning. We're going to give God thanks in the midst of what we're going through. All right?